First off, I'd like to thank the worship team and the London Church for a phenomenal job.
Family ministry. Before I get started, though, one more thing. I want to hold up a group of people, and I want to just convince them that God loves them, and that we as a church believe in them, and that we are really excited about how they stand up for their faith amidst their pressure. Can we have all the teenagers here tonight? Can you all stand?
Strange people. When they hear this, it brings them apart.
profound joy to them that comes from this gift they've been given. This gift is in their hearts. It moves them not just day by day, but it moves them moment by moment. This gift affects them, and this gift is contagious. Why unshakable faith? Because you have the Holy Spirit. Why unshakable faith? You have Jesus living in your hearts forever. Oh! I gotta go pray for about an hour to grasp that deeper. When you were baptized, you were given this gift of the Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus was preparing to leave earth and trying to prepare his disciples that he's leaving. In John chapter 14, in verse 15 to 17, the Bible says, if you love me, you will obey my command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and he will be in you. You have Jesus in your heart, teenagers. Who are disciples? You have Jesus in your heart. Parents, you have Jesus in your heart. Living with you, giving you power, giving you guidance, and giving you the ability to tap into this limitless resource and resources of God. The Spirit will be with you forever. In my quiet time this morning, I read about Joshua. God said to Joshua, be strong, be courageous. I will never leave you nor forsake you. That's what the Holy Spirit says to you all the time. You having the Holy Spirit will be my theme to unshakable faith. I'm going to first start talking to the parents. Okay, teenagers, will forgive you if you daydream a little. That's okay, but I'll come back to you. And maybe I'll have you come and perform Go Bananas again. So just get ready. You don't know what I'll do, okay? I'm a little nuts, so you don't know what I'll do. So maybe daydream a little, but keep paying attention some. But I'll come back to you. I want to set the stage for the parents and the parents' higher calling. Parents, I want you to understand to be unshakable in your responsibility. Parents, you are the most influential to your kids. And I want to paint a picture of that just to convince you, just in case some of you think you should drop your kids off at a ministry and then go home and not pay attention. One writer said that teenagers should drop their parents off at church while the parents go home and the parents learn about parenting. That's what we should be doing more. Parents are most influential. So I have a 16-year-old son. His name is Scott. My friend Merlin Gerst, he's a team leader in Boston, and he's known Scott for about 4 or 5 years. And Merlin gets with Scott about, he got with him once a week. He's gotten with him about 15 times, 1 or 2 hours a week. We go to parties at times when the Christians have a barbecue, and, Scott's over, so he spends some time with him at camp. So, he has spent some time with Scott, and he has a good relationship with him. And Merlin studies the Bible with my son Scott. So now that I've shared some about Merlin, who studies the Bible with Scott, I'd like to share some things that I've done with my son. And then at the end, I want you to answer the question, who has more influence? Merlin, the teen leader that studies the Bible with Scott, or Phil, his father? Okay, you ready? Okay. Now my son has slept in my house the last 16 years, gone on every vacation we've had as a family. I've disciplined him, played sports with him, laughed with him, cried for him, changed his diapers, took him to professional baseball, football, hockey, and basketball games, coached some of his sports team, gone to his basketball games, baseball games, swim meets, tennis matches, lacrosse games. I've taken him to the beach, built sandcastles with him, collected shells, played beach paddleball, thrown a football, I've gone horseback riding with him, studied the Bible with him, I've driven to church the last 16 years. I've played Monopoly, Guess Who, Sorry, Battleship, Life, Apples to Apples, Texas Hold'em, Worst Case Scenario, Yahtzee, Boulder Dash, Categories, Taboo, Chinese checkers, chess, ping pong, ear hockey, and video games with him. Whew. Go, go.
bananas. Go, go, bananas. I ain't done yet. I took him bowling, took him to the hospital a few times, took him to get haircuts many times, including the time the barber clipped his ear. I've gone to his parent-teacher conferences, read bedtime stories, had some small ball fights with him, raked leaves, and jumped in the leaves with him. I've watched a number of movies with him, taking him to the movies, taking him out to breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and eaten meals with him at home the last 16 years. I celebrated each of his birthdays. I bought him presents each of his birthdays. I was Santa Claus when he didn't know it during Christmas. I celebrated New Year's, Washington's birthday, Martin Luther King Day, Easter, Memorial Day, 4th of July, Thanksgiving, and Christmas together with him the last 16 years. I've taken him on airplane rides, traveled to other states by him, taken the trains, bus with him. I've given him piggybacks, put him on a sled, wrestled with him, watched Bonnie and Teletubbies. That's a sacrifice. With him. I made critical life decisions for him. Paid for his groceries, paid for his clothes, paid for his sports teams, paid for his camps, paid for where he lives, paid for his medical bills, paid for his entertainment, paid for his vacations, paid for the car rides, and including the gas. I will continue to pay for all these things for him through high school. I've gone fishing with him, taught him to tie his shoes, taught him to ride his bike, gone biking with him, gone hiking with him, ran a mile with him, been to his viola concert, helped him with his homework, talked to him about standing up to peer pressure, treat everyone kindly, don't look down on anyone, do what pleases God, and God deeply desires a relationship with you and is always present everywhere you go. Now I ask you this question. Who has more influence, Merlin or his father? You know, parents have 2 to 3 times more influence on their kids than even the church does. And with that influence, parents, comes a responsibility, right? And it's a biblical responsibility. And I'm going to give you some scriptures that I would like you to kind of, some read on your own, I will read some. That responsibility, this biblical responsibility, is God-given. God's original design is that spiritual training is the prime responsibility of the parents. The parents are the first and foremost discipleship partners of their kids. Why? Because God expects it. Read on your own Deuteronomy 6, verse 4 to 9, and Deuteronomy 11, verse 18 to 19. Also, read on your own Genesis 18, verse 19, where it talks about Abraham was called by God to direct the ways of God to his children. Psalm 78, verse 5 to 7. God wants parents to pass down their faith. And let me say something to the teens here. That's why teens, God calls you to respect their parents. Because God, the parents want to teach you to respect God. Psalm 78, verse 5 to 7, it says, He decreed statutes for Jacob, established the law of Israel, which He commanded our forefathers to teach their children, so the next generation would know them, even the children yet to be born, and they in turn would tell their children. We're called to pass down our faith to our grandchildren and those even yet to be born. You know, it was really great. 28 years ago, I became a Christian. And I used to come at home and I used to share my faith with my brother Joe, who 4 months after I became a Christian, he became a Christian. And that was 28 years ago. You know, and 2 weeks ago, what happened was that his daughter, his 16-year-old daughter, was baptized into Christ. 28 years ago, she was unborn. But my brother passed down his faith because he did what God called him to do. He trained his child up in the nurturing and teaching her about God. Malachi 2:15. Has not the Lord made them one, in flesh and spirit they are His? Any? Why one? Because he was seeking godly offspring. God is seeking godly offspring from the parents. The New Testament. Let me go through the New Testament. In the book of Luke, Jesus stresses the family. Luke 17, verse 11 to 17. Jesus raises a single mom's only son from the dead and then gave him back to his mother. I want to hold up another group of women here tonight. Do we have single moms here tonight? Can I please ask you to stand? Can I ask the single moms to stand? Let's give them a great, great hand. Single moms, if you can stay standing, I believe, and I actually believe, we all believe, you are some of the greatest heroes in all of our families of churches. Thank you for your faith. Thank you for your love for your children. And thank you for all you give. You rock. Yeah, single moms. And remember that story. That's a very encouraging story. Luke 8, verse 40 to 56. Jesus raises Jairus' only daughter from the dead. Jesus raising these dead people from the dead, he can raise dead spiritual people from the dead. You know, the results of that, Jairus and his wife, dad and mom, were astonished. Jesus told them, don't tell anybody. But imagine what their family devotionals were like. Man alive, like he said not to tell anyone. We can tell each other, though. Those family devotionals must have rocked. Luke 9, verse 37 to 43, a father begs Jesus to heal his demon-possessed boy. Jesus healed him and gave him back to his father. Jesus didn't hand it back to a ministry. Jesus handed him back to his father. Everyone who saw it were amazed at the greatness of God. Let me give you some observations I have from these stories. The parents initiated with Jesus. The parents begged Jesus, pleaded with Jesus, and conversed with Jesus. Jesus took care of the families, whether single or two-parent families, because he knew where people's hearts were. After healing, Jesus gave the children back to the parents, their primary care keepers. Jesus did not hand the kids to a children's ministry or a teen ministry, though I do believe they're irreplaceable today, and I'll talk about that later. And listen to this one. This is what I love, talking about unshakable faith. Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit changes people, no matter what shape they're in. No matter what shape they're in. I want to ask those parents who have struggling families to keep trusting in God. You be unshakable in your faith. And I'm asking you to wait for God. But you stay close and you stay tight with God. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Amen. I'm going to go over. There's more in New Testament. Four households, all households in the book of Acts were baptized. I'll talk more about that tomorrow. But my last scripture, Ephesians chapter 6, in verse 4. It says, and ye fathers, this is King James verses, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. The Greek word for nurture means the whole training and education. Parents are responsible for the training, for the spiritual training, and for the spiritual education of their children. The arguably greatest part of the youth and family ministry in the church, though perhaps difficult to execute, but simple to understand, it involves teaching, urging, and encouraging parents to raise their children biblically. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to give you seven different ways how to do that. I'm going to go over only one tonight, and I'll go over the rest tomorrow. And then teens, I'm coming. I'll daydream a little bit longer. That's okay. You got a little bit longer to daydream, so get through that Burger King burger or whatever you're thinking about. Whatever you're thinking about eating after this service, get through that. But I'm coming to you next about your higher calling. But this is the parents' higher calling. Amen? I want to challenge the parents to step up in the Spirit. To step up in the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:25, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit and let us be unshakable. You know what, parents, I want to say this to you. with you having the Holy Spirit, you know more than you give yourselves credit for. You know, I'm a parent of a teenager, two teenagers. You know what? I lack confidence at times. I lack confidence in what to say, how to communicate, and how to, you know, relate to my kids. But you know what? I don't shut up. I don't. I don't always know what to do. But I say something. Because I have the Holy Spirit. We know more than we believe. It's a matter of prayer and application of what you know. We must step up in the Spirit. No matter your child's age, spiritual status, or present circumstances today, no matter your dysfunctions, how you handle things in the past, and even your sin yesterday and today. As Sam Lang put it, there's only three people who turned out okay in the Bible. Only three. And you probably said that, well, which three? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Those are the only three who turned out okay. So we're in good company. But we must today make quality decisions to better influence our children. Let me talk about one of the ways. Some of these ways comes from Dr. Stine, who wrote a book called Fantastic Families, with proven steps to build strong families. He did 25 years of research and has data from 16,000 different families from 20 different countries. I changed it because we're kingdom first, right? So I changed some of these because we're kingdom first. Here's the way I want to challenge teenagers to step up. That God is first in the parents' lives. I challenge all the parents here tonight to put God first in your life. In what? In your personal worship. We all desperately need God, and let it reflect in our lifestyles. Kingdom must be first in parents' lives, not your career, and not your kids' activities. Kingdom must be first in your lives. Not anything should come before God. Kingdom must... Children would rather see a sermon than hear a sermon. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, do not put out the Spirit's fire. Let your kids see you burn in the Spirit. You know, and one last thing I'll say to the parents under putting God first is you got to get right with God. You got to get right with God. I don't know where you are, but if you're not right with God, my challenge tonight is get right. And Job admits intense suffering Job went through. Job complained and Job raged against God. In Job 38:3, after Job's ranting, God said, brace yourself like a man. And he went on and gave Job perspective on God and how God is God and Job is not God. Job responded and ended his rage by getting right with God. Surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know. Therefore I repent in dust and ashes. We must step up and get right with God. I don't understand your suffering. I don't understand your past. And I don't understand your present situation. But I know one thing. If you're not right with God, you are hurting yourself. You are hurting the people around you, and you are hurting your family. I hope you can face that truth with courage. I'm not down on you. I actually believe in you. I've suffered before. It hurts. It hurts. But God is God. And it's time to get right with God. Father left God for 7 years. Came back earlier this year, got restored. Now his kid comes to every teen activity excited. Single mom who left the church a while back, she got restored a year and a half ago. I studied the Bible with her son. He became a Christian about 8 months ago. Now he's going into the campus ministry as a strong disciple. When you change a parent's life, you're more likely to transform a teenager's life. Let's get right with God. Well, what if my son or daughter seems so far from God? I say to sharpen your convictions. Even in trials and troubles. Psalm 43, verse 10. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your spirit lead me on level ground. Sharpen your convictions. Be a picture of Jesus for them. And do not give up hope. Do not give up hope on any of your children. As long as they are alive, don't give up hope. I don't care if they're 23, 33, 43, or 93. Boy, you're an old person if your kid's 93. Listen to this scripture, Romans 15, 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. By the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't have time to talk about grace, but accept it. All parents have strengths and weaknesses. God is greater than our failures. Please accept your own weakness and feelings as opportunities and not excuses for God's grace to transform you further and more deeply. God's grace, a definition is God throws your sin in the middle of the sea and He puts up a no fishing post. We need to move forward putting God first in our lives. Amen to that? Amen. Amen. Teenagers, are you ready to go bananas? Go, go bananas. Okay, we're going to hit the teenagers now. You ready to go? All right, you doing all right? Okay, you need to do any kind of icebreaker or you all right? You're not getting sleepy out there or anything? All right, I'm going to take a sip of water. You can kind of talk amongst yourselves for a minute, okay? Hey, I'm telling you, I'm full of energy. It's only like 8, 7, 6. It's only 4 in the afternoon in Boston, man. I can go, man. Yeah, someone put their head down. Oh, he's not going to go to midnight. Oh, I'm going at 3 in the morning. No, I'm kidding. All right. Teenagers, I want you to be unshakable in your calling. God calls you to something that's way beyond the world. Way beyond what you see in the world. Tomorrow I'm going to talk about being heroes. Today I'm going to give you a nice, strong challenge. I don't even know you that well. But I hope you can handle my challenge. Teenagers, can you handle a challenge tonight? Oh, not yet they can. Hey, I'm not the boogeyman. You don't have to be scared of me. Teenagers, can you handle a challenge tonight? All right, here we go. You ready? Grow up now. You ready? I say that. And believing in you, loving you, and believe that you will take on this challenge. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11, Paul writes, "When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me." What's interesting, and Paul doesn't say, "When I thought like a child, then I thought like a teenager." There's only two distinctions in the Bible. Only two distinctions, child and man. Child and woman. Actually, the word adolescence or teenager is not in the Bible. Teenager first appeared in Reader's Digest in 1941. Before 1941, you are either a child or an adult. Adolescence back then was not a word. You know what the word adolescent means? To grow up. Today, it means to stay childish longer than necessary. It does. But you know what? You know why I'm talking to these teenagers? Because that's not going to be them. They're going to listen, and I bet you, you're going to say, I bet you some of them already are young men and young women. Amen? You know, I'm going to say this to get the teenage, I hope this gets the teenagers mad. Listen to the expectations of people have about teenagers. Listen to some of the adult expectations. Turned on a radio show, heard a mom talking. She said, a lot of issues with my teenagers like sex, drugs, and alcohol. I'm not worried about that, yet I fear most that my teen may drive drunk. I'm not worried, a mother saying, I'm not worried whether my kid has sex, drinks alcohol, or does drugs. That woman needs to take a cold shower. But teenagers, adults have low expectations of you. Google, when you Google the word teenager, you know what you get? Alcohol abuse and drug abuse. Pop culture expectations. These industries are centered on teenagers. The music industry has worldly, disturbing, and blatant, unbiblical messages. Can we give it up, though, for the teenage choir going against the grain? Yeah, teenage choir! Expectations from other teenagers. Girls judged on physical appearance and pressed to become sexually provocative rather than develop the qualities of Jesus. Boys pressured into pornography, alcohol, other stuff, rather than growing in spiritual leadership and taking on hard challenges to grow in their maturity and their competence. You know, there are 300,000 pornographic sites on the internet. The largest consumers of these sites are 12 to 17-year-olds. From Family Safe Media stats, 80% of 15 to 17-year-olds had multiple hardcore porn exposures. Department of Justice study said the pornographic industry focuses on attracting 12 to 17-year-olds to ensure lifetime adult consumers. These people evangelize. They're looking for a lifetime commitment. Teenagers, you are stronger and you are better than that. Don't let that mess and garbage get into your head or into your heart. Get mad at the low expectations that other people in the world have at you. Let's step up and let's grow up. Adults in the world, pop culture, teens in the world don't expect maturity and they don't expect productivity from teenagers. Some stay adolescents through their 20s. They even have names for them. They refuse to leave their homes. In America, they're called kidults. In Germany, they're called Nesthockers. In England, they're called kippers. Maybe for keepers, I don't know. But you know, there was this one teenager in Boston, many teenagers got really mad. You know, he was in the teen ministry and he said to me, Phil, you know, I'm only known as a jokester. I'm 16 years old, I'm known as a jokester, I don't want to be known as a jokester anymore, I want to grow up, help me. So in the last year, this is what he's done. He shared in front of 1,000 men about his conversion story. 1,000 men, teenagers were moved by his communion message. He was the MC, we had a New Jersey, New England, New York youth conference where the teenagers did everything at the conference. He was the MC for the whole conference. He did the closing speech at our winter retreat. Did this young man grow up and become a man of God? Teenagers, you can do it. Just tell the adults in the church, I don't want to be known as immature anymore. I want to step up and be a man. I want to step up and be a woman. Amen? Amen? Come on, teens, you can do it. God's with you. You know, before the word adolescence, even existed, David at 17 slew Goliath. And he became a king after God's own heart. That's what we want, teenagers with who are men and women after God's own heart. Esther is a young woman, stood up to a king with her life on the line, and she saved the whole race of people. She stopped the genocide. One woman stopped the genocide because of her faith in God. Timothy became an evangelist as a teenager. Both his grandmother and mother were Christians. I want to challenge teenagers who are not Christians to study the Bible diligently. Study the Bible diligently, and I want you to find how much God loves you, believes in you, cares about you, and has a better life for you than that stinking world out there who has low expectations of you. And I want to ask the teenagers who aren't Christians to step up, stop being lazy, and study the Bible. Listen to Jesus, and when you're ready, when you have your own faith, get saved. Teenagers, stop being rebellious. Rebel against the low expectations of the world and stop rebelling against God. Some say, well, I'll wait till I get out of high school. Well, what if you don't get out of high school? Step up, grow up, study the Bible diligently, and when you're ready, get saved. Why? Because God wants to do great things through you. If He told you, your head would blow up because you'd be so overwhelmed. I'll talk about this tomorrow. Oh, man alive. I know. I'll talk about our conference that the teenagers put on. I'll talk about some of it. No, I won't have time to talk about it tomorrow. But I'm going to talk about it now. 1 Timothy 4:12. 1 Timothy 4:12, you know, it says, don't let anybody look down on you young, but set an example. Teenagers, it doesn't say just set an example for the younger generation. It says set an example for the adult believers and the believers who are younger. You're called to set an example for the whole church. You know, and I just do want to talk about this. So this year, we had a conference, and the teenagers did everything. And so we drove to Connecticut. We had 5 planning meetings. The teenagers came up with the theme. They came up with the title, which we called Now is the Time. They did all the classes, they did all the main speeches, and they did all the worship. We had 400 teenagers there on Saturday. And then on Sunday, we had 900 people there in the auditorium that was overflowed, so we had to go to an overflow room. The teenagers did an amazing job. They put on their own conference. They preached the word with conviction, and it was a lively message, and these young men and young women grew up, stepped up, and made a difference in a lot of people's lives. Teenagers, you can do the same. Amen? Amen. Last thing I want to say to the teens is rebel. As the book Do Hard Things says, rebel against low expectations. Tomorrow we'll talk about becoming heroes. My last point here, you doing all right?
Yes.
Okay? You sure you're doing okay?
Yes.
Okay, no go bananas. We don't need any more icebreakers, right? The adults might fall over, you know, I don't know. My last point is being unshakable in the spirit. It's for everybody. One of Satan's strategies is get Christians to ignore the Holy Spirit. From the book Forgotten God by Francis Chan, he says, I've never seen anybody with too much Holy Spirit. Ephesians 3 verse 16, I pray that out of His glorious riches He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And then it goes on and says, listen to this. Now to him who's able to do immeasurably, you can't even measure how much God can do for you. Able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. That's the Holy Spirit, gang. That is the Holy Spirit. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. I want us to be unshakable in our daily challenges in our faith. You know, this team leader, Rich, who's been a team leader for 14 years now, was a college football player, was the captain of his team his last year. He actually got a scholarship to play football. And he since has been a team leader, as I said, for 14 years. And he's never drank alcohol. He goes out with his friends, and his friends said to him, you know, Rich, you know, I don't see you swearing, and I don't see you looking at girls. He said, what's up with you? He said, are you a man? And he looked at him and he says, what's harder, to not look at girls and not drink, or to drink and look at girls? He says, it is harder to do what I do. But that doesn't matter anyways. I do it for God. And he went and taught the young teens, and he says, a real man lives for God, and I am not missing out on anything. Amen to that. Teenagers, you can do it. You can do it. There's another girl, Megan, who's a team leader in Boston. She went to Boston College, and a hockey player pursued her. But he was not a Christian. So Megan says, no, I do not want to date you. And he pursued her and pursued her, and her friends at school going, what are you, crazy? This is one of the most famous guys on campus. He'll probably be an NHL hockey player. She said, no, because I'm a Christian. And she struggled with her faith at times, but she never gave in. And her friends kind of got down on her some. She recently married a Christian man, and she says, I am happily married, and I have no regrets. Amen. Another teenager who has a steady relationship with another Christian boy, Christian girl, Christian boy, says, you know, I look around at my school and they get impure and everything. He says, I can tell. I keep my relationship pure, and I can tell that I'm the happiest person in my school. You know, when we do little acts of faith every day, like turn away and not look at the girls, when we say no to these things that the world tries to have us do, Romans 4 verse 3, it is credited to us as righteousness. God smiles down upon you. And not only that, not only are you pleasing to God, but with your life with the Holy Spirit, you're making his presence known on earth to others because of your example. And others will find God because of your example. And being unshakable in our faith and our daily struggles, and I want to lastly challenge London and this whole group to dream. With the Holy Spirit, our dreams are limitless. We must have kingdom dreams and be a doer of those dreams. I'm not talking about some pie in the sky. I really hope that you pay attention to this. You are more, if you have the Holy Spirit, you are more than just a person sitting in the audience. You are a vital part of the body of Christ and the church. Do I have an amen to that? Every Christian has the Holy Spirit, and every Christian is vital. And if you don't believe it, read 1 Corinthians 12, 12 to 20 on your own. But you've got to ask yourself a question, and I hope this moves you to take your life to a higher calling. If the whole church were like you, would the church be healthy? If the whole church was like you, would the church be healthy? But let that move us. Let that move us to get stronger with God. Let that move us to draw closer to God. Or if the whole church was like us, would it be weak? But even if you're weak now, listen to Romans 8:26. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Amen. You still have the Spirit. Just wake up that sleeping giant. Psalm 51 verse 12. Restore to me the joy of my salvation. Only the Holy Spirit can produce that true joy. And then the Spirit from heaven gives new life to everybody. John 3:6. Spirit, capital S, gives spirit, gives birth to spirit. You're a vital and important part of the church. I don't care how old you are, God has not stuck a fork in you and said you're done. To anybody. Teenagers, you're a vital part of this church. That choir you had moved and encouraged this whole auditorium. You rock this place tonight. But we all must apply our talents and our gifts that God gave us because we are all uniquely created, right? And we must use it for God and bring glory to God no matter what age we are. What our kids want to see are men and women who are on fire for God. My son and daughter want to see a 51-year-old man who was a little out of his mind for God, who would be willing to stand on chairs to preach the word. We can all lead Bible talks. Go lead your own Bible talk. Teenagers, lead your own Bible talk. Some of you have talents in singing. You can do things for the poor. You know, I was so convicted about 4 years ago. I said, I'm doing squat for the poor. I was convicted by the Holy Spirit that convicts us of sin, right? So us and a group of people, we decided to do what we called Hoops for Hope. So Hoops for Hope, we got 24 guys to join up and we played basketball for 24 hours. 24 hours to raise money for this hospital that gives free medical care to the poor. 24 hours. At the end of the 24 hours, we had a cumulative score. You know what the final score was? 1,149 to 1,086. Man, we were dead at the end of that. We were like, man, bring us home, man. We need to get some sleep. But you know what? We've done it for the last 3 years. The first year we raised $26,000. Second year we raised $27,000. This year we did it with 48 people. We raised a total of $51,000. And Boston's not the only one doing it now. Portland, New Jersey, and L.A. are doing it. And now we do a teens hoop for hopes. 24 teenagers did it for 12 hours. They had a stinking blast. They couldn't even sleep the night before. They were so excited. But they raised $6,000. And that total of 51 came from the adults that raised 45 and the teens that raised 6. Unshakable faith are people today who are living their faith vibrantly. I'll end with this story. This ex-mayor of Philadelphia called Dr. Good, true story. He did a lot in his life. Started a homeless shelter in a firehouse in 1981. From that homeless shelter, he's been set up across the country. And now he has $40 million a year in funds. Started from one little homeless shelter in a firehouse. So he was 62 years old. And he was asking God, God, I've done a lot in my life. I'm ready to retire, sit on my back porch, and drink lemonade. So in his words, God told him to shut up. Moses at 80 led the people out of the wilderness. So at 62, he started something new. He was moved when he found 10.7 million children's parents are in prison. 70% of those 10.7 million children follow their parents into prison. He found out that a grandfather, a father, and son met for the first time in prison. So he started a program, a mentor program for these children. He said, Jesus is the master mentor, And that was my inspiration. Now this program is in 50 states, 210 different cities, and 200,000 children are a part of it. He said, I'm 71 years old now, and I'm not tired yet. I will go for 10 more years. And at 81, I'll go for 10 more years. At 91, I'll go for 10 more till the Lord calls me. He said, we will in our lives be tired and unappreciated. But let's remember, life is not about us. As Christians, we'll be persecuted, hated at times, and made fun of by others. He said, let's remember, life is not about them. The plane's coming in for a landing. Life is about who God called us to be. It's about who you are, filled with the Holy Spirit. Let's not downsize or underestimate God and what He can do through you. London and everyone at this conference, together let's dream. Together let's act and let the Holy Spirit take us to places where we've never been before. Zechariah 4:6, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord Almighty, let's wake up the sleeping giant in all of our hearts as we move forward. Let's have unshakable faith. To God be the glory. I love you. Thank you. Get my watch.
Wow. We have certainly had our fill. But not a fill of Phil, but a fill of the Holy Spirit. I really appreciate that. Have you felt the Spirit stir in you tonight? Is a sleeping giant waking up? It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter whether you're a teen, whether you're a parent, a single parent, or you are single yourself. The Holy Spirit moves in you. There is a place for you to do great things in the youth and family ministry in the church, whoever you are. I really want to encourage you and urge you to think about what you've heard tonight and make some decisions. Go away, change men and women. Encourage the teens to grow up, as Phil urged you. Think about that, what it takes to grow up and be the men and women God wants you to be. We unfortunately have to be out of this room by 9:30. That means you say, well, what about the fellowship? I've got lots to share. I really want to have some great fellowship. Well, tomorrow is the time to come back and have the great fellowship. I wonder if we can have the program for tomorrow night up on the screen, guys. I hope you've got one of these programs. I really want to thank Will Horwood for designing it. This the Horwood family hands all holding together there in the shape of the cross on the front. And tomorrow, we're going to start at 9 a.m. for those of you who can make it back here for a devotional. Why not come and have your quiet time with the campus students who will all be in here in room number one. Come back at 9 o'clock. And then at 10:30, we have four different classes. All right, these are aimed at different age groups, different situations. Please pick the one that is most appropriate to you. And you say, well, I don't have any kids, but do you want to help children in your congregation, in your family? Then please feel free to come. There is a special class at 10:30 for those of you who are single and or married without any kids. That's over at St. Pancras Church Hall. If you prefer to go over there and be with that, CJ is going to do a great job teaching that. And then there is a break for 2 hours, all right, for fellowship and lunch. Okay, there are plenty of breaks tomorrow to have fellowship. And then in the afternoon, we're looking at some other things. We're looking at teaching faith, building a powerful children's ministry. If you are involved in the children's ministry or you want to be involved in the children's ministry, please come back. Barry and Nancy, and actually Diana Critchlow is going to be joining Barry. Diana is extremely talented and gifted in children's education. So please come and listen to that. We've got teaching faith. We've got imitable faith, being the parents we need to be. We've got a great class. Phil and Chris are going to share this tomorrow. This is for parents of children who are struggling in their faith right now. They have a tremendous amount to share. Chris especially has done a lot of research in the development of the teenage brain, which they're going to share some of this stuff tomorrow. So if you feel like you're in the situation where your parents of a teen who's struggling, or you're trying to mentor somebody who is really struggling right now, please come to that. Okay, then there's a short break, and then we've got some strengthening faith. This is for things like blended families. If you're part of a blended family, Barry and Nancy are going to teach that one. Okay, if you're a family with special needs, Angie and Chibwachi are going to teach about that. If you're having challenges in school, there's an old bloke and his lovely wife are going to teach that one. Okay? So come along. My wife Maureen has a lot of experience about school issues. There is something tomorrow for everyone. And then in the evening, we'll be back in here, Unshakable Love, and Phil is going to preach again. And you've only just got started. I know you've done about 10% of what you intended to do, haven't you? Okay, so please come back, okay? Are you ready to come back tomorrow? Absolutely. Okay, come on. Let's give Phil a great round of applause. Okay, we have to move quickly. I do want to flick up the next slide, which is about the teen camps. Okay, the teen camps are coming. We connect. Okay, this is a theme for all the preteen and teen camps this year. Please go online now to register. If you want to be at one of those camps, if you are on attend as a preteen or a teen, or if you want to be a helper. Okay, last year we had a terrible task of actually turning people away. All right, it's probably going to happen this year, Barry, isn't it? You're not going to happen? Okay. You need to get on there and register quick, okay, to make sure you're on there. You get on there, and you also have to pay, okay? Just for the mention, it's £160 per person, and you get your credit card and pay online, okay? So please, please do that very, very quickly. We're going to finish right now. We're going to have one more song, and then we're going to sing to praise God. That'll take us to about 9:25, and then what we need to do is we say amen, and we need to move out. Okay, let's sing our final song together.